in complete dependence upon our Lord, that he may open up to us each the truth contained in his holy word. I'd ask your prayerful attention by way of text to Psalm 62, which we read, and verse 5. Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. This fifth verse of Psalm 62. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Last Friday morning, I took the reading at the Harpenden Bethesda home. And I read this psalm, Psalm 62. And dear friends, this verse seemed to stand out. And it has abode with me since that time. Maybe the Lord has a purpose for us to consider it, and as he may help us by his Spirit to open it up to us this morning. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. It's an expression of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And when we look at the psalms of David, or most of them, are based upon his earthly practical experiences, that which comes upon him in daily life. And dear friends, they are not without a spiritual exercise. You know, dear friends, it's an amazing thing if the Lord gives to each of us a spiritual exercise in our daily circumstances, in our life's minutest circumstance, for they are all subject to his eye. He says, my soul, not his flesh, not his mind, but his spiritual being. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. David had many a difficult pathway. He had great threatenings from his enemies, threatenings before he was the king, from Saul especially, and from other nations who, or other people, shall we say, who supported King Saul. And when David was king, he had many enemies that came against him continually. And then against him was also the iniquity of his own heart. For David was a sinner, and David testified how great was his iniquity. And David knew there was deliverance only from one source, and that was from Almighty God. And we find in these psalms so many prayers, prayers of the same nature. For although David had many enemies, much that rose against him, threatenings, physically, practically, and spiritually. There was one thing that he ever did, and that one thing was to wait upon God. How often you find such an expression in the Psalms. David waiting upon the Lord his God. Now if you look at the origin of these words, wait, which we find so often in the scriptures, particularly in the Psalms, there's many, many different Hebrew words which are translated as wait. Each one having a particular emphasis. One Hebrew word has its emphasis on tarrying. Waiting, we would say. Loitering. In one place. Waiting. Another one has its emphasis on hope. Hoping. Hoping something will come to pass. Another one has its emphasis on expecting, which is stronger than hope. Expecting is what, when one believes it will happen at some stage. Waiting. There is one particular application which is linked to the words lying in wait. It has its emphasis on an ambush in the times of battle. But the word wait here is another different word. The emphasis is on being silent. Dear friends, when we're silent, there's no complaining, is there? But there's still hoping. There's still an expectation. As it is here in our text. My soul, wait and be silent. Thou only upon God. That's looking, that's watching with waiting. For my expectation, and that word expectation literally means one's longing desire. One's longing desire. Is from God. Waiting upon God for that which you expect, hope, long to receive from Him. I want to speak simply on you children. This might be something for your children, for you children. When I was young, I often had to use the bus wherever I went because we didn't have a car. Standing by that bus stop, there may have been many people there, but there were more often than not, there was silence. Because the intent there was just to wait, hoping, expecting for that bus to come. And there was a looking for it down the road, around the corner. And it was an expecting because there was a timetable. There was that which was written, which said the bus would come to those that were waiting for it. There was many a times when that bus went by, I wasn't waiting for it. I never even noticed it. But when we had a need, then we went to the place where we hoped that bus would come. And we would watch in silence, waiting for it. Now it's like that, isn't it, with our souls. When we have a need for forgiveness, a need of the love of God, And we have the word written here, which contains the teaching of the love of God. We come to the word of God. And we watch, we wait, we pray. An expectation, our longing desire of what we want. His mercy, his salvation. Now that is what David is hoping and waiting for here in the time of his trouble. He begins this psalm truly, "My soul waiteth upon God." From him, from nowhere else, cometh my salvation. We're not told the circumstances under which David was in when he penned this psalm. But dear friends, we know it was a time of one of his troubles. He hadn't received deliverance from his trouble. But he was hoping for it. And he was waiting upon God for it. From him only waiteth, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Now salvation is being saved from trouble. We can be saved from many troubles, practically, physically, in our daily lives. David was, from the power of the enemy in the time of battle. He was saved from being killed. He was saved from being overcome. And that was through the help of God. He had much experience of that. But the great salvation is the salvation of our souls. Being saved from what we deserve because of our sin. Be saved from the judgment of God. To be saved from God's wrath in that day of judgment. Now David knew how great was his iniquity. He knew how great was his sin. He says, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him, him alone cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation." He is my Saviour, and only he can save me from going down into the pit. He speaks a little bit of his trial. He speaks in verse 3 of this psalm, "How long will ye imagine mischief against a man?" Verse 4, "They only consult to cast him down from his excellency." Dear friends, this spiritual exercise, it seems to be in David, was his desire to know the presence and the blessing of God. But there was that which crowded in to interfere, to threaten that which would separate him from God. Oh, Satan is a mighty foe, isn't he? He seeks those whom he may devour. So we read in the scriptures. But what a mercy. He may not devour those for whom the Lord would delight in. And dear friends, those whom the Lord delights in, they're those who are his, and they shall come into the knowledge of that salvation. But there are those times, dear friends, in our lives when we don't know it, we don't realize it, or it's hidden from us. We come into doubts, we come into great fears. We haven't got the deliverance which we long to have. And that's the case here with David in this psalm and other psalms. But dear friends, his trust is yet in God, because he knows that only God can deliver him from his condition, practically and spiritually. He only is my rock and my salvation. David often speaks of God as his rock. What is this rock? We read it in the Psalm 61. He says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You see, dear friends, these prayers only come when one needs that deliverance. When everything is going smooth and well, we don't pray these prayers, do we? When we're, as it were, at a liberty and full of thanksgiving and blessing, we have then the prayers of thanksgiving, I trust. But before that time comes, there's these pleadings to come into the presence of God, or God come into our souls, into our pathway of life, that he may deliver us from all that is against us. And you know, dear friends, when Satan causes our hearts to be overwhelmed in what through the circumstances of our lives, which he will try to use to bring us into despair, he will bring, won't he, nature's darkness. He will stir up unbelief. He will harden our hearts. And we find there's no help in ourselves. There's nothing we can do. Satan is a mightier foe than we. But there's that heartfelt desire. Oh, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. In what way is that rock? Well, dear friends, when we consider a rock, we think of something very solid, very mighty. As we look at God's creation round about, we look at the hills and the mountains, the great rocks. We can't move them, can we? And David often speaks of them as a defence, as a shelter, as a refuge. He speaks of that rock as a way, a firmness, in which the Lord would lead him in. A sure thing. And the Lord Jesus speaks of himself as a rock. He says, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, when I am overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now, if we think of a rock as a defence, perhaps you children have often come and seen castles which have been built in the country and in other lands. And they're often built high up on rocks, high hills, because there's a defence, because the enemy cannot get to that height to easily fight against you. That rock is a sure defence upon which you stand, upon which you exist. And David speaks of this rock, the rock of God and the rock of Christ, where we stand firm on him. He is a sure defence. Satan cannot get up to reach us, because that truth, as it is in Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, the shedding of his blood, the paying of the price for sin, which is so powerful to condemn our soul, and Satan being there in it all, where we rest upon Christ through that blessing by faith, that revelation by the Holy Spirit. Dear friends, Satan cannot get us. The power of sin cannot overrule us. Oh, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We've got this, our greater righteousness than our own, isn't it? The blotting out of all transgressions. We can only labour more and more in our sins. We can only strive more and more to obtain an acceptable righteousness. There will always be our sin to pull us down daily. Oh, but lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That rock given to us. The foundation of our hope. A wise man builds his hopes upon a rock. That in the storms of life and in the storm of death, it shall stand fast. Because it's that hope resting upon the work of Jesus Christ, who gave himself a sacrifice for sin. And that rock can also be a shelter, as David says in that same Psalm, verse 3, thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. There's both of them, a shelter and a strong tower. Dear friends, he had been, and David still needed him to be. We think of a rock. The scripture speaks of it, a rock in a weary land. A weary land is a dry place where no water is. And the burning sun, the heat, will only cause you to faint as you try to carry on passing through. But when that rock is higher than I, dear friends, there's a shelter. There's a shelter from the heat. There's a shelter, there's a cooling where you can rest until the time of the heat has passed, the time of the heat has gone. Oh, you say, oh, but what about this thirsty land? You're still in it. Well, we read of a thirst, didn't we? I think it was in Psalm 63. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Ah, but God supplies all your need. He can make the river, he can make the deserts flow with those rivers of water. And so he does to those who shelter and rest in him and trust in him. The Lord will provide for those that long for him. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. A shelter from the stormy blast, as the hymn writer puts it. My eternal home. Oh, top lady wrote of Rock of Ages, didn't he? Cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Dear friends, he was in a storm, a physical storm, wasn't he? Apparently, and when he wrote those lines, he's sheltering from the heavy thunderstorm. Oh, the storms of life. What did David say when he hid in a cave? That was in a rock, wasn't it? He said, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpast. Another description, shadow of his wings, the shadow of a mighty rock, but there, the shadow of the wings of a love, of a mother bird to her chicks, sheltering, a refuge. Dear friends, these are not found comfort and security at this time. They're under threat, aren't they? But here there's a refuge. Even a refuge, as the hymn writer says, a refuge for sinners. The gospel makes known. Oh, how David longs to know this refuge. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Dear friends, I believe he is in his refuge. Whilst all these things are going against him. He's waiting, he's hoping, he's expecting to be delivered. As David said in another psalm, casting upon the Lord his troubles, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That's the expectation. But at the time, dear friends, he was waiting for it. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Dear friends, it's not a hopeless cry. It's not a hopeless state. Dear friends, he wouldn't be crying like this if it was a hopeless state. He'd have no such feelings in his heart. He'd have no such desires. He would be spiritually dead. But no, he's not spiritually dead. Dear friends, he's spiritually alive. Oh, what a lovely verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Trust in him at all times. Dear friends, that's not easy to do, is it? That's not easy when all things seem to be against us, like Jacob had. All things against him. He had no expectation, did he, of seeing his son Joseph again? Oh, he'd have gone. It was all finished. There was no hope. But, dear friends, in the hand of God and in the mercy of God to Jacob, dear friends, there was yet hope. Nothing was impossible. Everything was yet in the Lord's hand. And so the exhortation, dear friends, to trust in the Lord at all times, whatever our circumstances. Our times are in his hand. I probably told you this before, but it's such a sweet account, it bears telling again. A late member of this congregation went into hospital, very ill. When I visited him one morning, he'd been reading this Psalm 62. And he said, verse 8, this verse 8 I've just reverted to, trust in him at all times, ye people, have been made sweet to him. He says, I'm glad it says ye people. He says, I'm glad it doesn't say his people. For then I feel it would cut me out. He was in a low state. But he was tried. He desired the mercy of God. And here was a hope, a little light that was given to him. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. And so he tried to do. God is a refuge for us. He found that very sweet at that time. A few days later, he became extremely ill. His eyes were opened and the nurse said to him, his name was David. Can you see me? He said, no, but I can see heaven. And then shortly after that, he passed away. Trust in him at all times, ye people. You in a low state. What does Psalm 136 say? Oh, the Lord's mercy endureth forever. He remembered us in our low estate. For his mercy endureth forever. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within you? Hope thou in God. Dear friends, where there's a hope in God, there's not the great liberty and deliverance and glorious blessing come. But dear friends, there's a hope for it. There's an expectation of it. Otherwise you wouldn't be in such a state, would you? My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. What does that hymn say? Oh, just gone from me, just came to me a moment ago. When we shall truly see, not only that he shed his blood, but you shall say for me. Oh, tarry, tarry his leisure then. Wait the appointed time, the hour. Not that only he will shed his blood, but you shall say for me. Dear friends, that's one application, isn't it, of this text? My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. And you know, dear friends, where those, some of you here I know, have had that sweetness of the Lord's blessing revealed upon you by the Holy Ghost, your pardon sealed, that lovely season, peace with God, the banner over you was love at that time. And as the situation changed, as you continue in life, have the troubles all gone? Have the tribulations all gone? Is there now not a greater trial of your faith? Is not sin now a greater burden to you than it ever was before? Then, dear friends, the word is still the same, isn't it? My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He knows the way you take. When he has tried you, you shall come forth as gold. Oh, that trial of your faith, which is precious. That your faith is more precious to you than of gold that perisheth, isn't it? And in the trial, dear friends, of gold, it only loses that of its impurity. And so the trial of our faith in the circumstances of our lives, under the blessed hand of God, the gracious hand of God, will cause us to lose more of our earthly self and the love of self, and gain more of the love of Christ. That we shine more, as it is with gold, when it loses its impurity, it shines more, and as it's been said, it reflects the face of the one who looks into it. And oh, as the Lord looks into the soul of his people, dear friends, he sees more of his own spirit, of his own face, of his own self, reflected in that soul, whom he prepares for eternal life. Therefore, dear friends, in all times we're to trust in him. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. Well, we often refer to that Peter, don't we, his epistle. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now that's your expectation, isn't it? That's your hope. That's your watching and what you're waiting for. A complete deliverance, an exaltation from this earthly thing, this earthly nature, this earthly place, this sin-cursed earth, to be carried into the glorious kingdom of the presence of God himself and of his Christ. That he may exalt thee in due time, not exalt here upon earth. Oh, that'll feed our pride, won't it? That'll give us so much ease and pleasure that we shall turn away from the things of God and our dependence upon him. The Lord knows our hearts. He remembers that we are but dust. He knows what we have need of before we are. But he will exalt in due time as we cast upon him all our care. For he careth for you. He careth for you. Otherwise you wouldn't be in such a state as you are if he didn't care for you. Oh, there's some who have their own reasoning minds. Well, if God was a God of love, he wouldn't let this happen to you. He wouldn't let this come to pass. But dear friends, the Lord's thoughts towards you are thoughts of eternal life. Not of the glory of your flesh upon this earth. Oh, his people do not love pleasures more than God. Those are the dreadful times which shall come upon the earth, says Paul. In the last times, perilous times shall come. People shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Dear friends, the Lord does not let his people go that way. Before they know him, he will not let them go that way fully. But he will bring them into that exercise of their soul where they desire God before all other things. They desire his mercy. And that's an exaltation, isn't it, in spirit? One's pardon, sealed in peace with God. Oh, dear friends, how this covers all the aspects of the life of his people. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Dear friend, Satan will tempt you that you're not a child of God. Otherwise, things wouldn't be like they are today with you. And he can stir up that unbelief and he can harden our hearts. But dear friends, search your hearts. David had to pray for the Lord to search his heart, didn't he? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Dear friends, he seemed to fear that he wasn't in the way everlasting. He was outside of the secret love of God. But dear friends, his desire was there. And we ever find him, don't we, waiting upon God. And when David came to his end, he could not glory in anything of his flesh, could he? He'd been king, he'd done marvellous things, he'd won many battles, he'd brought the Ark of God into Jerusalem again, and he provided for the building of the temple, all the things that were necessary. Although my house, that means his tabernacle, his own flesh be not so with God, nor those of his offspring. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. He could look through his life. What did he say in Psalm 103? He hath not dealt with me after my sins, nor recorded nor rewarded me according to mine iniquities. As the east is from the west, so far hath he removed my iniquity from us. Dear friends, in waiting upon God, we fear God. We fear lest we shall never know the mercy of God, whatever the circumstance of our lives, whatever the feeling there is within, or whatever the hardness of our heart. We fear God. Because if he does not show mercy, then we shall be left to that solemn eternity with Satan and his agents. The Lord says, to this man will I look, to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Those that have need of a dear Lord, this God of mercy, God of grace, those who have need of that precious gift, that unspeakable gift of his Son, who gave himself a sacrifice for sin. Oh, that's the longing of the heart, isn't it? Well, dear friends, may it be your expectation. And to live in this expectation all your days, that he that begins a good work in you, solemn as it is at the beginning, he will work it together. He that hath begun a good work, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That as we look to him, wait for him, seek to live in him and fear him in all our days. And dear friends, at that end it will be everlasting peace. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Be silent. Look, watch, wait. For that blessing to come. Your expectation is from him. You cannot look anywhere else. Continue in prayer. Oh, dear friends, that's a lovely exhortation, isn't it? Continue in prayer. As Jesus said, men ought always to pray, not to faint. Will he not avenge his own elect that cry day and night unto him? Though he bear long with them. That was quite solemn to me some weeks ago. I think I mentioned it a few times here. Though he bear, he carries. long time with them. He is with you in the trial. He is with you in the tribulation. He's with you in the exercise. And when that time comes, which is his time, there will be that deliverance, as it was with Joseph. Until his time came, the word of the Lord tried him. But dear friends, that expectation through the vision he'd had earlier, he came to pass, didn't it? He had to wait upon his God. Well, so it'll be with us. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Dear friends, we shall not wait in vain, but that time of love will come. Amen.